You're listening to AM 950 KHI, your voice of the foothills. This is the Medically Speaking Radio Show. I'm Larry Finney. Our medical expert, Dr. Mark Vaughn, is working out some kinks with...
Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
So where was I? Oh, yes, after a long period of not being live in the studio, we are finally back live in the studio, and I'm questioning that decision.
Live with dead air.
But, yeah, nothing like dead air. Well, dead air is actually a show on another local radio station. They play, not surprisingly, the music of the Grateful Dead. And I'm rather a fan of the show.
Sense.
It's good stuff, dead air, yeah. It's on the FM side in a little town called Nevada City. If you ever get a chance, you might want to listen to that one. Anyway, we are back live on the air after a long hiatus. Lots of stuff in our personal lives have required us to pre-record, and we hope you've enjoyed our pre-recorded shows. We get a couple of complaints about them sounding like we were, broadcasting from the men's room or something like that. That little hollow, boomy sound.
I thought that was because of all the rain on that one show.
Well, that, and we get the airplane noise once in a while because our locale is in the flight pattern, and you can hear the airplanes go over once in a while, just even though we're inside a building. But we're back live, and hopefully get a few calls. People can chat with us. Did you miss us, Foothills? Give us a call. Let us know. In fact, throughout the day, I think you'll probably be out and about. We have tickets to the home show to give away. So if you want to come by the studios here at the Palatial State Theater building here in downtown Auburn, we have whole bunches of these tickets to give away for you. And the home show is well worth seeing.
Now, speaking of people calling in, I was listening to Garden Guru, and a caller came in named Saul.
Okay.
Saul Wiseman, Mr. Wiseman, my junior comp teacher.
Oh.
So I think he might be listening.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he knows we're on after.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing happened. I got an email from him.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't even know it. So I'm telling it on the
air. Wait a minute. Now, how would he not know he sent you an email?
How would he not know he sent me an email? This email said something to the effect that his family was in London, I believe, had been robbed at gunpoint, lost their passports, and needed some money wired to a certain place so that they could get home.
Okay. This sounds like one of those
email
scams,
yeah.
but they hijacked his name, or is it the person's
somehow
name?
Somehow got a hold of his email account and sent it to me, yeah.
Yeah, these phishing scams often do that. They'll pull up out of your inbox email addresses with which you're familiar, so it makes it look a little more legit. Oh,
yeah.
This is from Saul Wiseman. Even though I haven't heard from him in 20 years.
Was he at Placer when you went? Oh, you're talking about me.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. But
okay. That's one thing that happened. And then I didn't bring in my folder. I'll get it after the break.
Yeah.
We also have just lots of stuff going on, at the office, personal stuff that you've been traveling all over the place, as have you. And I think we're traveling together again and... San Diego in 3 weeks, 2 weeks?
Casa del Sol, Cafe del Sol.
Cafe del Sol.
Where's it?
Cristianos Road.
Yes,
or Cristianitos, that's what it's called.
That's it.
Get those chorizo burritos.
Just had my son's wedding last weekend.
That was part of it.
There's probably, there was 500 people there, so I figure at least, a handful of you who are listening now were probably there. Call in with your thoughts if you want.
Oh, yeah.
A memorable party.
This time of year, it's coming up on contract renewal for the show.
Yeah.
So if there's any would-be sponsors out there, they could contact us if they want to be a part of Medically Speaking Radio and a part of the Auburn medical community and get information out to the community about medical matters.
Indeed. How about some stuff in the news? I ran across something. Now, I didn't actually print this story out, I'll take that back. I printed this story out. But I forgot to bring it with me. But I can remember the gist of it. There was something in the news about these home over-the-counter DNA or genetic test kits.
Yeah.
And they were going to be sold in let's say, the larger pharmacy chains. Those pharmacy chains have rejected the idea of carrying them for now. But as a consumer, I'm questioning whether I would even want one of these things. Now, I guess the point behind them is that based on your genetic profile, you would be able to tell whether or not you are at an increased risk for certain maladies.
No, that's not what those were,
that's
though.
One of them. Okay.
Oh, that, okay.
Well, that's one of the things. But I would, why would I want to know that unless it's something I could prevent?
Now, the ones that are available for home use, they're sold over the counter, that aren't FDA approved, were the ones that would tell you, for example, what percentage you are of European descent or of African descent.
All right. Well, okay, that's fun. That's kind of one of those. Probably sell a lot of those in Provo. But why would I? Or maybe these are like, what do you call it? Home paternity test kits, right?
That's kind of what it's
right,
like.
Right, right. No, I'm not writing the check until I take the test, right?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You said paternity test.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's right.
And I guess at the racial level, it would be. But
well, no, but the story I read had to do with whether or not, let's say, it would tell you if you have an increased risk of a certain type of developing, say, pancreatic cancer.
Okay.
Well, gee, that's just fabulous, except how do I avoid it? Now, all that would do for me is cause me to worry and fret and, you know, have a sadder life waiting for the inevitable to happen, when in fact it might not anyway at all. And this is one
Correct.
Of those things where what you don't know won't hurt you. You know, just some rocks are better left unturned.
This totally goes along with the other article that we're talking about this week, too.
Okay, which is it?
That was the one about the healthcare costs being different between different parts of
between
the country.
Between regions, right. That's the one that says, let's see, who did that? The Dartmouth Atlas Project.
Yes.
Line, this is a Reuters report. Earlier this week, doctors in some parts of the U.S. are more likely to tell Medicare patients they are sick than in other parts, researchers said on Wednesday, in a finding that could explain regional differences in health spending. Let's see. So this is back to the Dartmouth Project. The spokesman says, our study shows that there are big regional differences in the tendency to give new diagnoses to Medicare beneficiaries, said Yunji Song of the Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice, whose study was one of a series appearing in the New England Journal of Medicine. What we still don't know is whether being given more diagnoses is better for patients, she says. Now, Song and colleagues followed 255,000 Medicare beneficiaries for 5 years, comparing those who moved to a region where patients receive more hospital and physician services to those who moved to places where patients typically get less care. And they found that people who moved from the lowest intensity to the highest intensity treatment regions had a far greater increase in the number of diagnoses. I'm not sure that's useful information.
Does it go on to answer that question?
Well, there's a separate study by George Mason University that says it's just regional differences in health. Now, they only studied something like a little over 6,000 patients. But they're basically saying there are just some areas of the country that are, shall we say, sicker than others.
Okay.
You know, we refer to it as the cholesterol belt in some parts of the country, you know, where everything is in white cream gravy and everything's deep fried.
Mm.
And yeah, that's good stuff, though. Horseshoes, you know, where they make, you know, the land of horseshoes. We talked to
Dr. Kintner
about those. Yeah, those
Illinois.
Yeah, you know, just a heap of French fries with cheese sauce on them on top of an open face hamburger bun with. Oh, that sounds good. Actually,
I'm looking at Dr. Tsai.
Yeah, we have a cardiologist. We have our cardiologist here with us, and he's just, you know,
Dr. Tsai, would you try a horseshoe? He's just laughing in the corner.
No, but he's, yeah.
The horseshoe. Now, the reason I said that this relates is because we had spoken, I don't know how many shows back, about an article that was in the New Yorker almost a year ago now by a doctor named Atul Gawande, where he went to that town in Texas, McAllen, Texas,
yeah,
compared it to El Paso. Well, he has a new article to that called, I don't remember the title of it, but I do have a link to it in our show notes for today.
Mm-hmm.
If people are anywhere near their computer, they can actually go to medicallyspeakingradio.com, click on notes, and that link to the Atul Gawande article will show you the comparison between these two communities where it's almost twice as much that Medicare is paying per subscriber in this one town compared to the other. And there's no real good explanation for it, except that they're just testing. And the question, you know, it's the same as in this article. Mm-hmm. The question is, are people better for having all this testing done? And we'll have Dr. Tsai comment on this later, because a lot of the testing is stuff that he's doing. You know, people who have lived in the United States and are older, chances are they're going to have some degree of coronary artery disease. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, most of the things we would do for it, we would pick up on much less expensive testing, checking their blood pressure, checking their cholesterol, things that we do very routinely in a primary care doctor's office. And what's going on in McAllen, Texas, is the doctors have financial interest in the imaging centers where all these tests are done, or in the mm-hmm. other ancillary care that's occurring.
Okay.
And
so they have some skin in the game.
And apparently it drives up the cost without improving people's health.
Well, in this Reuters article that I was just reading from a moment ago, there's a line that says, this is the Dartmouth study. Dartmouth's Elliot Fisher said nearly all older Americans have some form of heart disease. You know, just think about that. All older Americans have some form. But in some regions, doctors are more likely to test for it and inform patients they have it. So is this a question of what you don't know won't hurt you, or
make a difference?
And if it's going to make a difference. If it's something you can avoid or treat, then great. If it's just, if it is what it is, maybe, you know, maybe I don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like my ultimate risk of having pancreatic cancer, you know, is there something I can do to avoid it?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Is there some kind of screening that will effectively catch it? Sorry. That's a bad one. Pancreatic cancer. Yeah. Also, in the news, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, which is one of our sponsors. So please let them know that you appreciate our show, since we're coming up on contract renewal time. Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital receives top honors from the Midas Platinum Quality Award Program. Affiliated Computer Services Incorporated recognized Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital as one of the top performing hospitals for excellence in clinical outcomes in the 2009 ACS Midas Plus Platinum Quality Award Program. The award is based upon Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital's achievements in the area of quality outcomes, care efficiency, and consistent delivery of evidence-based best practices in nursing and medicine. Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital is among the top 5% of the 564 hospitals that participate in the ACS Midas Plus Quality Award Program. And then there's a quote here from Mitch Hanna, the chief administrative officer. This recognition is due to the dedication of our physicians and staff who work to enhance the quality of care for our patients. We are always striving to provide the best medical treatment and care at our hospital. So
the bottom line is, we have a good hospital in Auburn.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, we're not any little backwater.
So I guess it's time now for us to play our disclaimer and our first commercial break. And we're going to kind of walk through this process with Mike, because we've never worked with Mike before. But we're glad to have you here, Mike. Good to meet you. So whenever you're ready, go ahead and go with the disclaimer and then the first break.
The content of this website and the Medically Speaking radio show are meant for entertainment and for general information purposes.
No doctor-patient relationship is attempted or implied through the show or the website.
Any medical advice, home remedies, and all other medical information on this website or radio show should not be treated as a substitute for the medical advice of your own doctor.
Do not attempt any treatment mentioned on the website or the show without consulting your doctor.
Always consult your own doctor if you are in any way concerned about your health.
If you need a doctor and live near Placer County, call Jen at 530-886-8630.
If you have a medical emergency, call 911.
Medically Speaking Radio, Dr. Mark Vaughn, Auburn Medical Group, K-High Radio, and or our sponsors are not responsible for any diagnosis or treatment made by anyone based on any of the content of this website or the Medically Speaking Radio show.
In addition, the views and opinions expressed on the show or on linked websites are not necessarily those of Dr. Mark Vaughn,
K-High Radio, the Auburn Medical Group Incorporated, or any of the show sponsors.
Few things in life are harder than thinking about serious illness or the death of someone you love. Research confirms that Americans want the basic services that hospice provides. Care at home or in a home-like setting. Treatment that preserves a sense of dignity and respect. emotional and spiritual support for patients and for their families, and effective pain management. Hospice helps patients and their families deal with end-of-life challenges in a life-affirming, compassionate way that brings dignity, hope, and love to every day of life. This message of love and caring is the focus of hospice care. This message is brought to you by Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice. We can be reached at 886-6650 or click on the link for Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice on the Medically Speaking Radio website.
Larry, have you ever been to Auburn Drug Company?
Yeah, that's the one with the marble soda fountain at 815 Lincoln Way.
Yeah, right there in front they have the marble fountain, and in back is an independently owned pharmacy right here in Auburn.
And that thing has been around for a long time.
Since the 1800s. They are so great because they actually fill your prescriptions when you ask them to, unlike the chain drug stores that make you wait.
You know, and waiting there wouldn't be a big crime because, heck, you could always go to the soda fountain. That's Auburn Drug Company at 815 Lincoln Way in downtown Auburn. Give them a call at 885-6524.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Yours has the little K-High logo on it. That's
well,
a,
that,
we're just,
that's
we're just comparing microphone equipment here.
Yes, which can be seen.
Right, on Ustream.
On Ustream. You can watch radio. How interesting is that?
It's probably like listening to golf on the radio. I don't know. It's just it's not one of those things that I would think about doing as a high level of excitement. But here we are, yeah, on Ustream, if you're curious as to what we look like. And, you know, it's maybe it's better if you don't. It's an example of one of those things that what you don't know won't hurt you. So just, you know, maybe just let it lie.
How would someone do that if they wanted to?
Well, I guess they'd tune into Ustream or something. But where were we? Oh, we were talking about the fact that we're live, and we've gotten out of the habit of giving the numbers because we're so used to pre-recording. But, you know, we can actually interact with live radio audiences. The number here, if you're in the Foothill area, is 885-3565. Or if you're calling from, say, Chicago or Dallas or one of our other
outposts. Arizona, where that one caller...
That's right.
Yeah, it was a caller. She called in and she said that she listens every week. She had a hard time hearing when it had all the echo.
Yeah, that was when we were broadcasting from the men's room or whatever it was.
But that her friends in Arizona listen.
Outstanding.
Regularly.
All right. Well, so if you're in Arizona, it's 1-800-950-5244. And we're not boycotting Arizona, so go ahead and call.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to tell people how they could do the video if they wanted.
Okay, go ahead.
It's at medicallyspeakingradio.com, and you click video.
Yeah.
And then you just follow the directions there to watch it.
Well, yeah, do so at your own risk.
I keep feeling like I'm dropping something here.
That's okay.
So we have a guest in the studio.
We do.
He's no stranger to Medically Speaking Radio.
He's a cardiologist, is he not?
That is correct.
It's Dr. Daniel Tsai.
Dr. Daniel Tsai. And when I think of Dr. Tsai, I always think about that year. Was it a year that you spent in Paris?
It was a summer I spent in Paris.
A summer?
A month, yeah.
Okay. What was it you were doing?
We'll always have Paris.
Doing fellowship in something.
I was doing a post-cardiology fellowship in advanced pacemaker surgical techniques in Paris.
Yeah. Well, we are glad that you did that because I know that we have some mutual patients who have pacemakers. Well, today we wanted to talk about the ACCORD trial. Because of some of the things that came on that.
Is that it sounds like a car talk show.
It
an
does.
Accord? Is it Accord like Honda Accord? Same?
I don't know if having a Honda Accord really has any significance for your coronary artery disease.
If it accelerates suddenly for no apparent reason. That's the other company. My apologies, Honda.
Cease and desist.
I'm just trying to get to the what you're saying. It's Accord. Study?
Yeah, it's spelled ACCORD,
okay,
all capitals.
And that stands for what? Or do we know?
I'm going to put the video here somewhere else so it can catch all of us in one place. I don't know what it stands for. Do you know what it stands for?
Good morning, listeners. ACCORD actually is an acronym stands for Action for Control of Cardiovascular Risk in Diabetic Patients. Basically, what is a study on how do we best treat diabetic patients for cardiovascular disease. Up to this point, before the ACCORD trial results came out, we treated patients with cardiovascular disease, depending on whether they have diabetes or do not have diabetes. If they have diabetes, their blood pressure goal and their so-called A1C, which is how well they control their diabetes, blood treated tests. Is just a little bit different. They're more intensively treated if they have diabetes. Now,
meaning you want the blood pressure lower.
Exactly. And this result was, the trial was terminated in February of 2008. Actually, it was terminated 17 months before planned termination of the study because the results were so compelling that to continue the study would not be good for patients.
So and to give some background to that, whenever they do studies, these really, really big studies, they'll actually have set times throughout it that they'll review the data before the data is complete, and they have certain thresholds that if a big enough difference is seen with the numbers at that point, they'll actually stop the trial because that's hard enough data to make a decision on, right?
That's absolutely right. It's a big trial. It's 10,000 patients or more, and what we have been taught so far is if patients with diabetes, that is, they have underlying cardiovascular disease, is to treat their top blood pressure, so-called systolic blood pressure, to at least about 120, as opposed to standard therapy where you want to keep their systolic blood pressure under 140. What the CORE trial shows was that patients that were intensely treated to blood pressure 120 diabetic patients actually fare worse than the standard therapy of keeping the blood pressure 140. And there's actually increased cardiovascular death, which was very surprising. And to this day has generated a lot of controversy and discussion about how to interpret the results of that trial, what to do with the results of that trial. From my standpoint, it definitely has changed my practice of how I deal with patients with diabetes and underlying cardiovascular disease. And I certainly would not treat them to stringent blood pressure control like what has been recommended in the past.
Now, the recommendations that I follow, and I can't quote where they come from, it's for a systolic of 130 for diabetics and for anybody with significant renal disease. Kidney disease. There's data for that. Now, was that at all studied in ACCORD, or did they just go all the way down to 120?
The recommendation has been 120 for diabetic patients with cardiovascular disease. Now, you brought up a very interesting point, which is, what do we do with kidney patients? And what do we also do with different racial ethnic groups? And that's a controversy with the Society of Afro-American Physicians thinks that they are still going to abide by a lower systolic blood pressure control despite the ACCORD trial because they feel that diabetic patients with cardiovascular disease in Afro-American patients are fraught with complications, and they feel that they really should bring their patient population to a lower systolic blood pressure regardless of the ACCORD trial.
Now, that's something that you don't hear about a whole lot, racial differences in treatment of blood pressure, but it's very significant. Of course, as you know, we actually use different blood pressure agents depending on the race of a patient because some just simply don't work, or at least work very poorly in different racial groups.
You're absolutely right. And let me just qualify my statement. The CORE trial is a big trial, and about 60% are white. About 20% are Afro-Americans, and the rest are Hispanics. And specifically, the result addressed not so much, there are subgroup studies on ethnicity in terms of how they respond or kidney function, but this addresses mainly cardiovascular disease and with diabetics, specifically addressing non-fatal heart attacks, non-fatal strokes, and cardiovascular death.
Now, are certain ethnic groups more susceptible to cardiovascular events than others?
To diabetes?
It's not a yes or no. It depends on many factors. Some racial groups are more disposed to having risk factors, diabetes, hypertension, and poorly controlled diabetes, hypertension. which accelerates the atherosclerotic process, resulting in increased chance of heart attack, stroke, and cardiovascular events.
Now, those groups racially that are predisposed to the diabetes include Black or African American, American Indian, Eskimo. There's another group too, right? I'm trying to think.
Excuse me at this point. Other than what you have mentioned, yeah. Yes.
However, the prevention is still the same.
Diet, absolutely. Exercise, yeah. The bottom line is prevention, primary prevention, meaning lowering your risk of cardiovascular disease. Again, we talk about diabetes, weight issue, blood pressure control, follow-up of your physician, recommendation of physicians, and screening. Of course, she always adds smoking as a major risk factors for cardiovascular disease, meaning stroke, heart attacks.
Okay. We do need to take a break as we come back to discuss other aspects of the ACCORD trial and implications. The number to call with questions or comments, and they don't have to be necessarily about the ACCORD trial. This is Medically Speaking Radio, medical radio for the foothills. You can call about any medical matter.
Dark chocolate even.
Dark chocolate even, yes, for all of those Dr. Diane fans out there. Since 1966, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been providing award-winning care to members of the community, to people just like you. The tradition of excellence continues today with our comprehensive family birth center, cancer services, 24-hour emergency care, and a whole range of outpatient services with convenient hours and locations to serve you.
In addition, we've been recognized for excellence in managing heart attacks, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. We are one of a select few hospitals in the state to earn recognition from VHA's West Coast region for sustained outstanding clinical performance.
To learn more about Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, visit us on the web at sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio. That's sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio.
Sutter Health, with you for life.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I want to tell you about my dentist, Rodney Kihara. His office is located right in town at High Street and Auburn Folsom Road. His staff is pleasant. They smile when you walk in, and you know who they are because they're there every time. We're talking about Flo, Cheryl, and Judy. Their pleasant faces welcome you into the office and let you know that you're in the right spot, a comfortable place to go to the dentist. Call Dr. Kihara's office at 888-1966. That's 888-1966.
The doctor would say, don't stick anything in your ear. Unless, of course, it's Medically Speaking. On K-High, the voice of the foothills. Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Yes, this is Medically Speaking Radio. And the doctor does say, stick it in your ear. This is appropriate for you to stick in your Medically Speaking Radio here on AM 950 K-High, the voice of the foothills. I want to give out the phone numbers. I want to do that before the break here. The number is 885-3565. And again, just in case you didn't get it or you're trying to write it down, 885-3565. We are speaking with Dr. Daniel Tsai about the ACCORD trial, which studied some aspects of the treatment of people with heart disease and diabetes. And we were speaking earlier about the change in recommendation of target for blood pressure, although it wasn't really giving us an answer as to where we're going to. It was just saying, don't go all the way down to 120 on the systolic. What other changes or significant findings were there in the ACCORD trial?
And I think before we get into that question, isn't it, you said diabetes or heart disease, I think, wasn't the trial about people who simultaneously have diabetes and heart disease?
These are patients specifically with cardiovascular disease and diabetes. And actually, the recommendation, if you're going to believe what the ACCORD trial says, specifically indicated that standard treatment for blood pressure control is adequate, meaning keeping your systolic blood pressure under 140 and not to previously recommend a target of 120. The other interesting parts of the ACCORD trial has to do with how well we control diabetes. And one of the markers we use is called something called hemoglobin A1C. And again, the prior recommendation has
What I'd like to do is give a little bit of background on what that test is and why it's a good test for diabetes. The hemoglobin A1C, hemoglobin being the molecule that carries oxygen in the blood, the concern with blood pressure or blood sugar checking is that blood sugar in a diabetic ranges 100 points from reading to reading. Anybody with diabetes can tell you they've had a day where they've seen a range of that much. So checking individual readings, it's so hit and miss to be actually finding out, where am I? It's just all over the board. So the hemoglobin A1C is a way to kind of get that controlled and give you more of an average reading. The blood sugar attaches to the hemoglobin molecule, and that's a permanent attachment to that molecule. It will be attached until it is destroyed, which sounds like a long time, except these things, 90 days or so is their the lifetime. So a hemoglobin A1C, if you check it every 90 days, you're getting an accurate idea of what has been going on in the person's blood sugar on average during that time, because that blood sugar attaches and then it doesn't let go when the blood sugar level goes back down, unlike checking a random blood sugar where it goes up and down, up and down. So a normal would be under 5% or under 6% hemoglobin A1C, meaning under 6% of your hemoglobin molecules have a sugar attached to them. And so we can use this to test how somebody is doing with controlling their blood sugar. Normal is under 6.0. Anything above that is abnormal. Now, the American Diabetic Association has said we can use that to diagnose diabetes if any one time you have a reading over 6.5. And so now you're going to tell us what the ACCORD trial tells us about controlling that hemoglobin A1C number.
Thank you, Dr. Vaughn. You say that much better than I can. I've been surprised at the sophistication of patients these days. They know when I say hemoglobin A1C, they'll say, "You mean 1C?" I say, "Yes, 1C." What part of the ACCORD trial is actually this was done with about 5,000 patients, and what they have found out was that actually trying to control the A1C to 6, a target of 6, as opposed to between 7 to 8, or exactly 7 to 7.9, the ones that will tightly control the A1C to 6 do far worse than treating them between 7 to 7.9, which is, again, a major surprise. And, of course, have thrown our dogma, how we strictly treat diabetic patients, in turmoil. And so what do we do with that kind of result? Are we going to change our practice? I think some of us will, and I definitely will myself. My target for treating patients with diabetes and with underlying cardiovascular disease is going to change, and I will not control their hemoglobin A1C to 6. I will probably, at this point, my target will be about 7 to 8.
And my understanding is that was using oral medications to get it down to that target.
You're exactly
right.
If a
right. person is normally diet-controlled and is at that level, we don't want them to let it go higher. It's the medications that were implicated as being the problem. Oral diabetic medications to push someone down below 7, that's not necessarily good. And so I've actually taken to, if somebody is under 7, not adding any oral medications, or if they got down under 7 and they're taking medications, to actually back off. Because according to the ACCORD trial, I'm actually doing that to the benefit of their life.
That's a very good point. I should mention that the ACCORD trial was based on patients who have a baseline A1C of about 8.
Yeah, that's an important thing to know going into it. This doesn't apply to the person that has good diet-controlled diabetes.
Exactly,
we're talking about the people
absolutely.
Who are on usually more than one medicine.
Right, and has not been well-controlled.
Yeah. What other implications were there or findings on the ACCORD trial?
Well, the other one that's interesting is, again, diabetic patients, they have cardiovascular disease, they inevitably are on a cholesterol-modifying medication, which as a group we call statins. And these are medication most commonly Lipitor, Zocor, Mevacor. And it's not unusual that the doctor will throw in a medication to, in conjunction, work synergistically with statin, something called fenofibrate. And it has many trade names such as Tricor, Trilipex, fenofibin.
The tri, because it's for triglycerides?
Specifically for triglyceride, we most of us have a panel, our lipid panel. It's broken down into various fractions, such as total cholesterol, triglyceride, LDL cholesterol, and HDL cholesterol. Those are the most common things we see on a panel, lipid panel. And with diabetic patients, some of us feel that we should also put them on something called fenofibrate, which helps lower their triglyceride and hopefully improve their good cholesterol, which is HDL. And what's interesting, as part of this core trial, patients, diabetic patients, again, with cardiovascular disease, they will put on fenofibrate in addition to statin, do far worse.
Hmm.
Which is, again, very provocative which makes me think about the recent article in Wall Street Journal, which says, what should we do? What should patients do? What should the layperson do? All these trial results which come out one way, we've been treating patients a certain way for many years, and then another trial that comes out and say, hey, you've been doing this all wrong. Who can we trust?
Yeah,
what do we do?
It reminds me of years ago, they used to say that eggs were not good for you. You know, that there's too much cholesterol in eggs. And then another study came out that said, no, eggs are actually good for you. They have this. But that might have been sponsored by the...
They're not good for your paint.
They're not good for pain?
Paint.
Oh, paint. No, they're not. But this trial that we're talking about here, this SACOR trial, sounds like it's moving towards less is more. It sounds, from a lay standpoint, like a loosening of standards. If in fact they were standards before, maybe they were just...
They were guidelines.
Wisdom. Yeah, conventional
wisdom. Call them,
right.
Yeah.
More or less guidelines.
Yes. Where'd that come from? Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean. That's right. That's right.
But tell me, am I off base here in saying that there's a lot of money behind a lot of the recommendations for, let's get the triglycerides down with such and such drug, let's get the LDL down with such and such drug, without necessarily having studies that show that there's improved mortality? Yeah, you get the number down, but does getting the number down mean that there's less mortality? Answer that question.
Is it pharmaceutical driven? Pharmaceutical has a lot of vested interest in selling their products, of course, and frankly, they are the driving force for a lot of these trials, some of them very, very useful and helpful to help us live a better quality of life, help us live longer. But there's always the other factor, which is it's a business.
Yeah, well, lest we get into a conspiracy theory that pharmaceutical companies are driving this, Dr. Tsai, you and I, before the show started, we were talking about the concept, and this was new to me, that there are monitors, there are neutral monitors who actually, monitor these clinical trials for just such an event.
Oh, absolutely. And the trial that we're talking about, court trial, has these committees which has no vested interest. And all they do is usually declare way ahead. And so, are they totally neutral? I think so. I believe they are.
Yeah, a lot of people may not know that it's required in these peer-reviewed articles, peer-reviewed articles that are in the respectable medical journals, to actually declare any financial connection the authors have with the drug being studied.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you go to any of the medical meetings, the first thing that the speaker, even before they give their talk, is to declare if there are any financial connection, if there are any sponsors. And it's all spelled out. I think in many ways the medical profession needs to be complimented for their honesty.
Okay. And before our break, should we do our declaration of our sponsors?
I think we should.
Our financial ties.
We have financial ties.
We're sponsored by Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, Sutter Auburn Hospice, the Auburn Medical Group, and we also have advertisements on our show from Auburn Drug and Rodney Kihara, the dentist.
That's right. And who, you're about to hear some of them.
He was actually a guest on Dr. Airsoft this month.
We'll have to talk about Dr. Airsoft later, too. That's another finger we've got our pie we got our
That's
fingers
right.
into. Okay, go ahead.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I wanted to let you know a little bit about our practice at the Auburn Medical Group. The physician, nurses, and front desk personnel all approach the patient, asking themselves the question, how would I want to be treated if I was in the patient's shoes? Listen to what one of our patients has to say about her experience at the Auburn Medical Group.
My name is Susie Brown. I just want to sincerely thank that group of people for being there for me in some emergency situations. They are very efficient. Their staff, including their receptionist, even when you call her, she's got sympathy and compassion for you. And when you're ill, that's what you need. The nurses, the nurse staff is wonderful, and Dr. Vaughn listens to everything you say, and they just get on things. They do not let anything lag.
If you need a doctor, call us at 886-8630 or look at our website at auburnmedicalgroup.com.
Do you find yourself overspending, overeating, or in unhealthy relationships? Is your anger out of control, or do you struggle with drugs and alcohol? Are you tired of just trying harder to deal with your struggles? If you answered yes to any of these questions, there's help available. Celebrate Recovery is an international ministry that meets locally at Parkside Church, 3885 Richardson Drive, Auburn. Meetings are held every Friday night from 6 to 9:15 p.m. All areas of recovery are welcome. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered, 12-step recovery program that offers real and lasting change. Contact Sheila Dobbin at 823-9911. That's 823-9911. For a listing of Celebrate Recovery locations, go to CelebrateRecovery.com. We invite you to join us at Parkside as we celebrate recovery.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
We're on the air. We are on the air.
We're back live on the air. You know, we're in studio with cardiologist Dr. Daniel Tsai. I'm Larry Finney, by the way, and
you're
listening
to
Medically Speaking Radio with Dr. Mark Vaughn. Earlier in the broadcast, we were going over a news article that had to do with certain regions of the country being maybe more sick than others. But I picked up on a statement in the article that kind of gave me pause. And it's one of my complaints about media. Sometimes they'll throw out a statement without giving context. And the statement is that nearly all older Americans, this is ascribed to a doctor in Dartmouth University, nearly all older Americans have some form of heart disease. Well, I wanted to run that by Dr. Tsai. What do we mean by older Americans, and what do we mean by heart disease? Are we all in danger of just, you know, having the big one right out here on the sidewalk, acute myocardial infarction, and just drop dead? Or is it just, are we talking about arterial plaque? Or what do we, what's the range of things that we might consider heart disease that would allow someone to make a statement that says nearly all older Americans have some form of heart disease?
Boy, that's a tricky question. I think I'm going to offend anybody by stating a little age group, what's older. let me just give you my thoughts and my reading on cardiovascular disease. During the Korean War, these young GIs, 18, 21, and some of these unfortunate GIs that were killed, autopsies were done on them, and they showed that even at their age, there are fatty streaks in the artery.
Even in the 50s?
In the 1950s, yeah.
Yeah, and think about the obesity level in our time, and how is it going to affect increased chance of cardiovascular disease. What I tell my patients is everybody has cardiovascular disease. It's a matter of degree. And I have patients that refer to me with chest pain, and after extensive evaluation, I determine they do not have significant coronary artery disease. I tell them, hey, you do not have any life-threatening or significant coronary artery disease. but that doesn't say that you do not have hardening of the arteries. Definitely do. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee them 100%. It's just a matter of degree.
It's just going to happen. Just on the natural, that's going to happen. You know, we had another guest, Dr. Baumbach, who said that as you live long enough and get older, you will eventually have some form of dementia, virtually everybody. Not a happy thought, but again, it's a matter of degrees, though. So it's
cancer.
Yeah, or prostate cancer and medicine. Again, it's the same thing, matter of degrees. Some people don't want even a little bit, but, you know, I suppose even a little bit can be lived with.
Yeah, the definition of someone, if we were to do an angiogram of the artery supplying blood to the heart, angio means blood vessel, grams means picture of the arteries supplying blood to the heart. If we see something which we quantitate as 70%, we consider it as significant. But is 65% significant? Don't know. There are many factors. And just looking at an artery that has a narrowing does not usually indicate that the narrow artery is going to cause a problem or having a heart attack soon. It also depends on the composition of the plaque which is narrowing the artery. Some plaques are more stable, some are not. We have spent a lot of money, a lot of research in how to define what's a stable plaque and stable plaque. But I think we've talked about that in the past in one of these programs. Well, maybe we have touched on it a little bit. It's a moving target.
Yeah.
But as you say, Larry, you live long enough. I tell my patients, you're going to develop heart problems. Something else doesn't kill you.
Now, this isn't to give listeners a fatalistic view or an attitude that, well, heck, if it's going to happen to me anyway, I may as well continue to smoke and, you know, eat Big Macs to excess and, you know, have a lot of fun with it.
It's very interesting that you say that, and it's a personal experience. A few years ago, I have a patient which I follow for a number of years, and he has abused his body, he smokes, enjoys other recreational drugs, and he had heart attack. His heart was getting weaker and weaker, and he came to me one day and he said, "Doctor, is there anything you can do for me to save me?" I said, "Well, no. Your heart condition is so bad. Your lifespan is limited." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "I can't be 100% sure. I can tell you that you have a very sick heart." And I think the reason he asked me that was, he wanted to get a sense of how long he's going to live, whether he should go out and really enjoy himself.
Well, it sounds like he has been enjoying himself to that, which had put him in that position. It's kind of like I'll not name this rock star, but he was famous for having had a liver transplant after years of profligate living and trashing himself, you know, drinking and he hung out with a couple of guys named Stills and Nash, but so I won't say his name, but and his father's name wasn't Bing, but it could have been. So the guy just drinks like a fish and does other things and gets a liver transplant so he can start all over again, I guess.
It's interesting that you're talking about the recreational drugs, because I was thinking about patients in my practice. And I'm surprised at the number of people who use marijuana on a fairly regular basis. This is an excellent chance for us to get the word out, you know, because a lot of people are talking about, oh, we need marijuana because it's got health benefits. Please tell us the health benefits of marijuana from a cardiologist's point of view.
I do not know if marijuana has any health benefits from a cardiovascular standpoint, but I can tell you certain people with heart condition should not use marijuana, especially the kid who comes to me and say, "Hey, my heart is racing." That patient should definitely not be on marijuana. And patients with weak heart, patient with cardiovascular disease, definitely should not use marijuana, because it just exacerbates the condition.
Well, we know that smoking tobacco is absolutely not something that helps the heart. In fact, causes disease. Do you know of a difference between marijuana and tobacco, or a comparison between them?
I think specifically what I'm talking about is the tachycardia associated with marijuana. And particularly if you have underlying heart condition, a weak heart, tachycardia is definitely not good because it increases your tachycardia, meaning, of course, fast heart rate. I'm sorry. Dr. Vaughn just reminded me I need to define my medical terms. And for someone who have underlying borderline heart condition, having any condition that accelerates your heart rate, increasing consumption of oxygen, where the patient does not have any cushion, is obviously detrimental.
Okay. Thank you for getting that message out. I just always want to make sure people understand this is not it's a wonderful natural substance that's going to make you better. No. Yeah. No, it's bad for you.
Oh, notwithstanding all of the boutique shops that are popping up for those who need, quote, medical marijuana, and the ballot initiative coming up that, you know, very well may legalize this stuff. It doesn't make it good for you.
My favorite thing in pop media on that was that episode of Glee. It was the first episode. Remember that?
Yeah.
Where the teacher gets medical marijuana, and then he sells it to the students. And he says, it's great, because all I have to do is just tell my doctor that I'm having trouble sleeping, and I get more.
You know, you get to see more and more and that kind of stuff. But anyway.
So just for those of you out there looking for a doctor for that, don't come to me. I want to make that very clear.
I think they're feeling that from you.
Do you think that the message is getting out?
I think that's pretty clear.
All right.
But, well, if you do want to see Dr. Vaughn, though, in other forms of media, he'll never say this, but you may want to tap into YouTube. Hit YouTube and search the term Dr. Airsoft. You know, for those of you out there who are into the sport of airsoft, he does a lot of... I don't go so far as to call them clinical trials, but trials of various safety equipment and so forth. Kind of fascinating. So, and plus, it's a good way to get free equipment, right?
Yes.
Some really cool stuff.
Yes. If there happen to be in our listening audience, which I don't picture our listening audience concerned about health matters necessarily being the same audience that's looking for information on airsoft.
Yeah, I never know,
but,
though. Yeah.
But if they are, check out Dr. Airsoft.
Yeah, just to give you the idea that he's an eclectic kind of dude who crosses over into all kinds of other things, but obviously not into the whole marijuana scene.
Yeah, no. Okay, well, this is, the third time we've had Dr. Tsai on second time in the studio. We had you just a few weeks ago pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And we were able to talk about the ACCORD trial. What is coming up in other trials that are out there in the wings for cardiology that you may be able to let us in on and something to look out for?
Well, along with the core trial, something called ADVANCE trial, ADVANC, is an acronym. To be perfectly honest, I don't know what the acronym stands, what exactly the wording is on acronym. Again, it mirrors the ACCORD trial, except it uses different kind of oral diabetic medication, and it will be interesting. Again, the ACCORD trial, as I indicated previously, is controversial, and there are many comments from different medical societies about how best to use the information from ACCORD trial. It'll be interesting.
Okay. Thanks again for being on the show. Medically Speaking Radio with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney. We are always, always glad to be able to bring you information about the Auburn medical community and just medicine in general. It is a pleasure to be back in the studio. I was excited to be here again. Larry, how is being back? Is it good to be back?
It's almost as if we never left.
I feel like we left because I'm really glad to be back. We want to thank Mike, our engineer today. Thank you, Mike, for making our show happen. And, of course, I understand that Trevor is working different hours or going to school or... So, of course, we love Trevor, and we want to let him know that we miss him. But we are glad that we have Mike, and the show will go on. Do look at our website, medicallyspeakingradio.com. Also, look forward to seeing us again next week right here. Again, I believe we're going to be live, and we'll see you next time. Until then, stay in good health.